But the tricky thing about the job was they said, now we don't want her to like land and roll like a stunt person.
You just want a flat
They
land.
wanted the hit. So I literally went up the top and then I flew and
Straight into concrete. That was
met
it.
the tarmac.
Hello and welcome to Cunning Stunts with myself, David Holmes. Ever since I was a teenager, I've been performing as a stuntman on feature films. And for 10 years, I was the stunt double for Harry on the Harry Potter films. Whilst preparing a stunt for the final film in the series, I suffered a spinal injury that had the effect of paralysing me from the chest down and ending my career. However, in the decades since the accident, my love of stunts, the stunt performer community and movies has never wavered. So I'm starting this podcast to highlight and pay tribute to the amazing performers who make up the stunt community, giving you first-hand accounts of the work that goes into crafting some of the mind-blowing action scenes you've seen on films such as Star Wars, Mission Impossible, and The Avengers, while also revealing the grit, talent, and bravado of those that risk their lives in the name of entertainment. One quick note, the other voice you'll hear occasionally is Dan Radcliffe, one of my best friends and acting double on the Harry Potter films. He's been sitting in on some of these interviews. Okay, welcome back to Cunning Stunts. You guys are in for a treat this week. We've got my good mate, Lucy Allen. Lucy's been performing stunts for almost 30 years, and in those years, she's appeared on many productions, including Titanic, the Bond films, Casualty, Peak Practice, Killing Eve, and of course, the Harry Potter films. She also gained a reputation from doubling many of the dames. In her interview, Lucy tells us what it's like to be a stunt performer and how to calm yourself and ignore your natural feelings before performing a stunt. She also shares some of her on-set stories, including the changes she's noticed within the industry over the years. So here's our interview with Lucy. Hope you enjoy. So thanks very much for joining us today. Do you mind explaining your name and how long you've been in the stunt industry?
Oh, God. Yeah, Dave. I'm Lucy Allen. And I've been doing stunts for over 20 years.
Over 20 years.
If I'm honest, it's 27.
27? Yeah.
That's wow. Amazing.
And how did you get into the stunt industry, Liz?
Well, I got in really being a physical performer because I'd been working in circus.
Yeah.
As an acrobat and an aerialist. And I heard about this thing called the stunt register. And I'd always loved, you know, James Bond movies and the professionals and all that kind of stuff. So stunts, that kind of rung a bell. And then I went to a party and I met someone that told me her flatmate was Andy Bradford.
Right,
now,
okay.
You know Andy,
yep,
don't you?
Yeah.
And a great stunt man and coordinator. So she was kind of saying, you know, Andy Bradford, my flatmate, he goes to work, he skids cars around corners, he's set on fire, he leaps off bridges.
Brilliant.
And I'm kind of sitting there going, ooh, I really would love to do that. Surely I could really do that. You know, I kind of came away buzzing with this whole new idea. And that's really what happened. And I kind of was so intrigued. I went off to Equity because I'd heard about the Equity Stunt Register. And then kind of, you know, was given this whole list of all these difficult qualifications, physical qualifications you'd have to get onto the register.
Yeah.
But just threw myself into my training
and
that's how I got on.
How long did it take you to train, Lucy?
It wasn't too bad. I was quite clever at selecting qualifications that fitted my physical strengths.
Yeah.
So like my background in the circus was going in as an acrobat, but learning all the aerial stuff. So as gymnastics was my background, I did the gymnastics and trampolining and swimming.
Yeah.
So that all kind of trampolining and diving, which related to the gymnastics.
Yeah.
So that made it easier. So it didn't take me too long.
Then what was your three others that you?
One of them was hang gliding.
Really?
Could you believe it? Yeah. Like, oh God, that was a disaster. Spending weeks and weeks on kind of windy hills, you know, begging for the wind to come down so we could do the hang gliding. But yeah, I did actually do hang. Now, that's something you didn't know about.
No,
me.
I didn't, no.
I did hang gliding.
Do you hang glide now recreationally?
No.
No?
Absolutely not.
So you got the qualification.
No, but I do, as you know, I still skydive.
Still skydive.
so into that. Yeah. That's my thing.
How many jumps do you do a year, skydiving?
Not many. I have to say, I don't do many, but I, over the years, I've been jumping now since 97, you know, so it's quite a commitment. And
so you must have, what, over 500 jumps?
Yes.
So just going through your stunt career, do you mind just explaining some of the major films that you worked on?
Well, the first big film I worked on was it Shepperton, I think, and that was Frankenstein.
Really?
Yeah. Kenneth Branagh's
Frankenstein. Right, okay.
With Helena Bonham Carter was in that as well. As you know, I got to double a lot in my career. But that was, I think, the first really big film I kind of rocked up on, and like the scale of it was a shock.
Yeah.
I remember that. But then other big ones, Braveheart, that was a fantastic experience.
Were you doubling on Braveheart or just in general?
No, I was being chucked off the castle.
Oh, nice.
To hang by my neck.
Oh, really? So you've done thrown off the castle into a static line to a hang?
Yeah, it was a rope drop.
Rope drop.
Literally, you know, a few of us dropped from the battlements. And it was about the rope extending and then reacting like, you know, this rope's been...
Cool. And
that was with Simon Crane.
Brilliant. And to explain to people that when you do a hang-in, underneath your costume you've got a harness. And then the noose, which is round your neck, is the weight of the noose is taken out at the top of the harness, so all the weight goes through your harness and not actually to your neck.
Yes. So what you've got to do is sell it.
Yeah.
So that was the whole thing, you know, to get the reaction. But it was so horrific, we were cut out.
You were cut out?
Yes.
Always the way. So you've mentioned that you've doubled Helen a few times. Can you name some of the other actresses that you work with?
Yeah. Well, I'm joking at the moment that I only double dames, because Dame Helena Bonham Carter, Dame Helen Mirren, I have doubled. And also, I've just been doubling Julie Walters.
Wonderful.
Who, guess what, is now a dame.
Is she?
Yes.
I mean, it's about time. It's great. So you've got you're exclusively
dame.
Covering dames.
Yes, so I've doubled Leslie Manville on Maleficent, and I'm wondering, could she be the next dame?
I think she's in with a chance.
She should be.
Ticking them off.
You really are. That's great. Yeah. That's amazing. Yeah. Is there a, you know, particularly with Helena, having worked with her a lot, do you find that there's, you know, you get to know a person and physically, how? I mean, I suppose Helena as well changes, you know, she's quite, particularly as Bellatrix, and there was a certain physicality. But do you enjoy, because you're such a physical performer, do you enjoy that part of a relationship with doubling?
I particularly enjoy it if, like you said, with a character like Bellatrix, is a very definite movement. I could really get my teeth into it. And I really enjoyed, you know, being Bellatrix.
It was a great costume as well.
Yeah, in that costume with the wand and, you know, watching her perform and then trying to do my best, you know, try to be her for that moment, whatever physical moment it was. Obviously, it's harder if someone is, you know, not doing such a big physical movement, but you're still on set watching your artiste, just trying to get some idea of how they move.
Yeah. And have you picked up any injuries throughout your career?
Well, I'm pretty good.
A little touch wood for that.
I've been lucky, haven't I? Yeah. So no particular injuries, bruises.
Yeah, quite a lot of those.
You know, I mean, obviously the old ripped groin, and you know, you know, the old back, you know, all the years of tumbling on hard floors as well, you know, but generally speaking, you know, I'd still love it to chuck myself downstairs or whatever stunt. Come along.
Yeah.
Because that's what I think is interesting, is that, you know, and you were, the story you were telling earlier about you hearing your friend talk at that party about her roommate and going like, I want to do that.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like you're probably the only person in that group having that reaction at that moment. Like, I feel like most people would be like, good for him, I'll leave him to it. You know, and that, like, to me, that's what makes you guys, like, amazing and fascinating, is that there is this, like, how do you, you know, when you're about to throw yourself down some stairs or jump out of a moving car, is there anything that you're saying to yourself to either deal with the fear, or is the fear just pushed aside, or, you know, how do you
process it in a way? Well, that is the big question, isn't it? I don't know. I think I always feel it's kind of horses for courses. There's something in us stump people that we don't really see it as fear. Yes, it's stressful when you're doing a stunt, but it's never about fear.
Yeah.
The stress is purely to perform, to do it well. It is a slightly magical thing. Shall I tell you the story about the first stunt I did?
Please, please do, yeah.
And that's with Gareth Milne. It happened to be on my favourite TV programme, Casualty. And what I had to do was, the story was the girl's on a push bike going up a country lane, comes around the corner and's met head-on collision, really, with a truck. So I was on my push bike going up the country lane, and then when the truck came down, I was literally getting away at the last minute. I did it once, everything was fine, and then we were going to do one other, and I remember saying to Gareth, I think I can get closer. Yeah, I did get closer. I felt this sound and it clipped the back wheel. So I would go into the grass verge, and I remember I was at the back of this wheel going, terrified that I'd done something wrong because the mudguard had gone, you know. And that was what I was worried about. Anyway, it was fine. Everything's great. And he said, I remember at the end of the day, he said, you're a good stunt double. I'll tell all the boys about you. So that was really nice.
Nice, yeah.
And I have to say, it was only about 2 days later, because I clearly remember it, I was walking up the road to the bus stop, and I suddenly almost stopped, suddenly realised what I'd done 2 days before. I suddenly thought, what's I doing? I was like, on a little push bike.
Yeah, nearly getting run over by a truck.
Yeah.
So you were more scared of getting the stunt wrong than actually hurting yourself at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I didn't even think about the danger. I just thought about making it look as good.
Right. It's great.
Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe we're just a little bit mad.
I think you are, but in a great way. Like, yeah, I don't think it's it. I think everyone is. But like, it's very specific. Like, there's not a lot of people that do what you guys can do. I mean, either, you know, physically and skills wise, but also, you know, mentally to be able to just like rein in every natural instinct of self-preservation and protection.
Well, that's something else I've been thinking about recently, that the fact that often stunts, because I talk about stunts these days as well, and I was saying to my latest group, you know, people really do think of stunts as the big explosion. A lot of it is just having exactly what you said, the ability to calm down and ignore your natural feelings. And I gave them examples of jobs I've done when it was about not reacting. That was the stunt, you know, about not reacting. And how one of the hardest things I've ever done was actually lying on the slab as a dead body, giving a completely lifeless performance.
Really? You know, because you had horses around you?
No, because when you're there, I'm just talking about that thing about when you do nothing, and you're meant to be dead and you're not breathing, I tell you, you hear every single little thing in your body, even your eyes fluttering, and you're trying to completely calm down and shut down the body.
I played a dead guy last year and he said the same thing.
It's surprising.
It is amazing.
Surprisingly
you suddenly go,
like,
oh my
difficult.
God, I can feel everything moving.
Everything, everything,
So can I just list out some of, just some random jobs that you probably would have done? Have you been run over by a car?
Yes.
Have you been drowned?
Oh, yes.
Have you put a car into water whilst being a passenger?
No.
No? Have you fallen off a horse?
No, because I'm not... I've done stuff with horses, but not as a rider, because I'm not really a rider.
Yeah.
I stick to motorbikes.
Yeah. Fallen off a motorbike?
And, in a ball gown,
In a ball gown?
Fallen off a motorbike? I was actually the passenger. It was a gag. Raider Harm was riding the motorbike, actually. I got on as his date on the back, full ball gown and long, you know, the long gloves.
Yeah.
As he takes off
straight
my car.
Out the back.
That was quite fun.
And
high fall?
I did a big fall off a bridge for peak practice, but the really big one was my claim to fame, the last moment. Literally, Tina and myself, it was the very last moment of peak practice.
Really?
Yeah, of that long running series. And that was literally our big stunt when the psychotic nurse took the doctor over the edge. Yes.
Oh, wow.
Brilliant.
And I love the way they filmed that and kind of layered that fall. So they extended it. And, yeah, it was a powerful moment. So, yeah. Proud of that one. Very proud.
We've had this conversation, but when you done Suffragette recently,
yeah,
you said you was all in costume, all of you stunt girls were getting beaten up by the guys dressed as police officers.
Yeah.
You said you really were brought to the history because you was at Houses of Parliament and, you know, you were playing, you know, the things that really happened only within 100 years.
Yeah.
Can you just explain that situation, explain what you was doing in that day?
Oh, yeah. That was a real... absolute privilege to be part of that, because they had allowed us to film right by Parliament in an area that apparently no one had been allowed to film there since the 50s.
Right. Okay.
So we were literally underneath Big Ben, and I remember that because I very stupidly turned around to someone and said, "Do you know what the time is?" Okay. Yeah, I remember that, but. We were there reenacting this big riot where the suffragettes were led to believe that this bill was going to be passed in their favour, but in fact they'd been sold down the Swanee, and it, you know, they'd been sold out. And so when they heard, they were really upset, but they were not rioting, they were just protesting. And then the police took it one step further, and that is a historic event.
Yeah,
you know.
And you were recreating that with the stunt boys beating the hell out of all you girls and the horses. Yeah,
yeah. And it was another great thing about Suffragette was we had such a big call of stunt women, because it's very unusual to get. I mean, all of us, you know, stunt girls were saying, "Wow, that's great." You know, they were
great to get together.
I can't remember; it must have been at least 20 of us, which is really, as you know, really unusual with stunts. So that was brilliant.
And some of the locations that you've been lucky enough to work on, some of the places you've been with the job?
God. Well, I was so lucky to go out and work on Titanic.
That's
one of my big ones, in Mexico.
Yeah.
So, although, to be honest, I didn't get to see much of Mexico. And my mother was saying, "No, you really must make a point of going out and seeing a bit of Mexico whilst you're there." Well, we were there working nights, 6 days a week, and 6 nights a week.
And that involved being in the outdoor tank, falling off the boat, sliding down the boat as it was up at the angle.
Poop deck.
Wow,
down
amazing.
The top, falling out of lifeboats, the big one for me, jumping off the top of Titanic. That was a high one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How high was it?
50, I think.
To water.
Yeah.
In full dress.
Yeah.
And funny
screaming
enough...
Screaming all the way down.
And we was discussing with some of the girls that... Us boys get it quite lightly with costume.
Mm.
We normally got long sleeve, long trousers. We can wear hip pads, back pad, knee pads, elbow pads. It never happens with you girls, unfortunately.
Well,
it's always a vest and a skirt, and it's always raw skin.
Yeah, well, you know, it depends, but we can get those jobs. I did one when I was being knocked down, and she'd run out of a, can I say, sex party.
Yeah.
And so she just literally grabbed a Mac. And she's running, and then the car comes and hits her. So that was a tricky one in terms of padding, but we cleverly managed to get a couple of bits on. But
And
in fact, I felt quite exposed, you know, with the car.
Yeah,
and,
of course, yeah.
Bare legs, really. Yeah, we've just got flesh-coloured tights on.
And can you, I mean, how many car knockdowns have you done?
Not many.
Not many.
To be honest. I've done one, the one big one that I did for Lee Sherwood in the Isle of Man.
Yeah.
That was the memorable one.
And what was that on?
That was for a film called The Gathering, and I was doubling Christina Ricci.
Yeah.
And it was quite dramatic because the car was coming down in the rain. We had all these rain sprinklers, you know, and I had a rucksack on, and it literally was right, throwing myself right at the car, up over onto the
windscreen in the bottom.
Up the windscreen.
Over the top?
No, onto the top and then off. But the tricky thing about the job was they said, "Now we don't want her to like land and roll like a stunt person.
You just want a flat
They
land.
Wanted the hit." So I literally went up the top and then I flew and...
Straight into concrete.
Yeah. Met the tarmac.
Only once?
Thank goodness, only once.
Thank goodness.
But when I seen the playback of that, as I land, so I kind of like come off, and because of the camber, it kind of threw me down off the side of this car. And I remember feeling like I was a little bird in the air, and then I hit the ground. And maybe no one else can see it, but as I hit and then roll, it's just a moment that, you know, I took the impact, and I know exactly what I was thinking in my head when I got that.
Hopefully not again.
I won't mention that now.
Yeah. Okay, and the science behind a car knockdown, obviously you've got to clear the knee, haven't you? You've got to lift the front leg, the leading leg, because if the car's to hit you while there's weight in the leg, it breaks your leg straight away.
So, yeah, I had to get up onto that bonnet.
Yeah.
Get the body out, so the, yeah.
Amazing.
Exactly. But another funny thing about that car knockdown, I was very keen to do it. It was the stunt that I'd really wanted to do for a long time. Everyone had said, no, you don't really want to do that, Lucy. I was like, yeah, I really want to do it. Anyway, I tried to prepare for it, and that involved, you know, speaking to other stunt people, getting advice, looking at stuff. I went down and did a bit of training. I remember chucking myself off crash mats in Ray DeHaan's garage.
Yeah.
Ray drove his car at me a few times, you know, just for me to get that kind of... This is the kind of thing we stunt people do, to prepare.
Good.
And so everything's cool, and I go to do the job, and I go for it 100%. And I hit that car. And that was a moment, it's like, I forgot about that bit.
Yeah, the whole
that it might actually hurt.
The ton of metal behind it.
As I hit it, ow.
Yeah.
And the funny thing to me about that is that in all that preparation, I did not once think about...
The actual pain.
Yeah.
Yeah, the impact.
So I think that's also something that we have, that you kind of...
Yeah, the blinkers, we call it, don't we? You put the blinkers on and just focus on the stunt in hand. So, talking about some other jobs in your career and other films that have been quite prominent for you, do you mind discussing some stuff you've been on recently?
Yeah. I this year, have had the dream job.
Go on.
I mean, I really have. And I haven't seen you to tell you.
Go on.
I've been working on Mary Poppins Returns.
Oh, have you really?
Which in itself was like, oh, great. But doubling Julie Walters.
Oh, really?
I mean, how wonderful is that?
Yeah, awesome.
And it's all harness flying for the flying sequence. So for me, I'm absolutely in my element. I'm up there in the air, which is where I want to be.
Yeah.
You know, flying around, singing at the top of my voice.
Oh, wonderful.
You know, and being Julie Walters, which of course is very easy for me because I spent my whole year watching her and admiring her.
Oh, wonderful. That is the job of dreams for you, then.
And then I had to look after my artiste, which is another thing that we stunt people do.
Yeah. And can you just elaborate on that, on how you're in charge of, you know, safety and all the aspects of physical work with your artiste?
Well, you know, usually if you're doing a job like that, you would put your artiste in their harness, make sure they're safely harnessed up.
Yeah.
But as well, because they were really using me as a stunt double to... help with, we were rehearsing it, we were planning out, because it's quite technical for the people flying us, exactly how we were going to fly that action, so people knew what they were doing, so our artists wouldn't have to be up in the air for too long.
So you're literally guinea pig all the time.
Yes.
For
so if there
the
are
persons.
Any little tips or things that I found would help, or, you know, even technical stuff about, she had a hat that would, you know, I knew that the wires pushed the hat forward, so suggest maybe she put her head a bit further forward. You know, it's just little things.
All those
like
little
that.
Things, yeah.
Anything that you can do to help them, and yeah.
Have you done a fire job, Lucy?
Yeah, I've just done my biggest fire job, Dave.
A full burn?
Well, no, I wasn't actually meant to be on fire. I'm sitting in a ring of fire, but it got so hot, basically, the costume set on fire. So that was great.
So an unplanned
fire job. So it became your big fire job.
Yeah, it was, it was all controlled with the gas jets.
Interesting.
It was a great job. I really enjoyed that.
We've mentioned this earlier on, put very simply, what is it that you love about it? Like, it's a dangerous job, and what is the motivation for keeping on coming back and just,
I think, again, that's a huge question.
So it's such
question.
A broad question, I'm sorry, yeah.
But first thing I would say is, I think it's, the thing I love the most is the variety. you know, because I just get bored really easily. And, you know, even if it's another stairfall, it'll still be with a different crew, with a different story behind how, you know, she goes down the stairs. Are the stairs bigger, smaller, steeper? Are they got carpet on? Is it steep? You know, so many variations. So every... The thing about stunts is, I always say to people, you never rest on your laurels, you know? There's none of that, because it will always be different. So there's never really a time that you can sit back. Now, that wouldn't appeal to a lot of people, because there's always that bit of stress there. But that keeps me awake, keeps me alive. It's the challenge. I mean, it can be a lonely place sometimes if you are doing a big stunt. And I certainly have had moments when I'm literally on the parapet or whatever, about to do whatever, and you look at everyone else that's all swanning around, all relaxed, you know, cup of tea, you know, eating a banana, and you can suddenly think, how come I'm here? And, you know, I should be. Yeah. But then if you do the stunt and it goes well, amazing sense of achievement, you know. Really.
And do you get that buzz?
So it's the challenge.
Yeah. Do you get the adrenaline buzz as well?
Oh, of course.
The bit you love.
That's why we really do it.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Yeah, I always say we're all kind of adrenaline junkies, yeah, on the sly, aren't we?
Do you make you proud to be, you know, to be associated with, you know, all the stunt women in the register and how they're successful?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, I look back to... just going on set, just observing one day. I think one of the stunt coordinators kindly asked me if I'd like to go and watch. And I heard one of the stuntmen make a very insulting comment about all the stunt women.
Yeah.
Basically, he said, he said they're all useless.
Yeah.
And, or words to that effect. And... which was a bit of a big thing to hear as a, you know, newbie, terribly keen stunt woman. But I feel very proud now to think that that kind of attitude is so way gone. I mean, it's just nowhere to be seen. And I think what happened was, you know, once the stunt women were given a chance, instead of guys putting wigs on and doing it for them and then saying, oh, well, they're useless, they can't do it. Once we were given the chance, of course, we've come through and shown what we can do, and absolutely proved ourselves, and none of the stunt guys now would come out with a comment like that. I'm really, really happy that I have seen that massive shift.
So in that gender equality in our department, yeah.
And now it's beginning to happen with the stunt coordinating, you know, more women, the more women that do the stunt coordinating, the more other women will believe they can do it.
But that's interesting to see that, you know, you've noticed really that gender inequality at the start of your career and how that's changed and progressed.
Yeah, and I think some women are more vocal as well.
But it's women like you, Lucy, that have set the standards for the younger girls, so you should be very proud to be involved in that.
It's been a massive shift in attitude.
And
thank goodness.
With your stunt career, any regrets, Lucy?
Well, I would like to have done a full burn, actually. That's I always kind of wanted to... I'm not saying I had a list, but it's almost that, you know, I want to do the car, you know. Yeah. So I've never done a full burn, and I think because the thing, from what I've heard, with the, if you are completely set on fire, it's very much about controlling your natural emotions that we were talking about, you know, keeping calm, slowing the heart rate down, controlling the breathing, all those things that I think, you know, I'm quite good at, so I think I could have done it.
Yeah.
And I would have looked cool on fire.
So I'm sure we can arrange.
that would be time. Good.
Yeah. Anyone got any matches? Anyone got any matches?
That's the other thing. You never know what's around the corner.
Yeah.
You know, I'm now, you know, so way into my career that every year, of course, I think this is the last. But I think most performers actually do think, you know,
Every job
you think it might be my last, but hopefully with time you get confidence that you are going to carry on. And for me, as now one of the older stunt women, obviously that's a concern of mine. But just when I think my career's over, something seems to come up. So
I mean, you've only got to look at the example of Steve Emerson and Shaun of the Dead.
Yes.
The you know, the sequence where they're beating him with the pool cues and the "Don't Stop Me Now." They do it. Is that he's the old guy? And I mean, Steve's what? How old, Steve? What do you reckon?
He's in the 70s.
Got to be in his 70s, yeah. Fully padded up, and they've just got Simon Pegg and Nick Frost just beating the hell out of him with a snooker kit. I mean, it's a brilliant sequence.
You need those character faces. I always say to people, we don't just need the young, fresh faces and stunts, because some of it is those little stunt parts where, hopefully I'll be allowed to continue.
Have you been a zombie?
Yes, that was absolutely one of my dream things that I wanted to do.
And what was that one?
I did a commercial last year and I got to do zombie action.
Yeah.
And I looked absolutely hideous. It was brilliant.
Wicked. Yeah, I done one on Doomsday, Face covered in pots and spots and three hours in a makeup chair. Brilliant fun. Brilliant. Lucy, thank you for
coming
in today.
Amazing. That was really
nice. Okay, I'd like to thank Lucy Allen for joining us this week. Going to have a short break in this series of cunning stunts, but we'll be back soon.
Ripple Production podcast series produced by myself, David Holmes, and Amy Stairs. Sound recording, editor, and music by Joe Lamb. To find out more about us, please visit our website, www.rippleproductions.co.uk, or follow us on Facebook and Instagram.